All right. This is the third week. I've started doing a teaching on James. It's the first time I've ever taught through a book in over 20 years. I'm more of a topical preacher. We're going to do the first three chapters. There'll be times where I'll change up and throw a different sermon in there or that, if the Lord puts it on my heart. You know, it's so hard to find the balance. John 4, 23 and 24 says that the true worshipers are coming and now are, where they worship in spirit and in truth. And we need both, you know. If you were here Wednesday night, there was a lot of truth. John did do some prophesying, but it was almost all teaching. And then Thursday night, it was almost flowing by the Spirit with very little teaching. And it's just trying to figure out that John 3:8, where the wind blows. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You don't know where it comes and where it goes. But James is a teaching book. And so as a general rule, when I teach twice a month, that's what I'll teach from. And we're starting a new section, and this is a brutal section. This is a hard... James is a very practical book. It's not a theological book like Romans or some other one. It's just down to earth. And we talked about how Martin Luther, the great reformer, didn't really like it because he was concerned that people thought they had to work for their faith. Well, you don't have to work for your faith, but to mature in your faith, you do have to work. And there's a balance there. I mean, it's still by the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know there's nine fruits, love, joy, peace, and patience? How many of you are just sitting around going, I'm going to be love any day now. It's just going to jump on me, and I'm the loving man. Or I'm the man of self-control any day. Has it jumped on you yet? Seems like maybe it is, and you just need to lay hands on me. But if you're like me, I got to sort of work at some of that self-control. It's still ultimately the Holy Spirit, but I at least got to... do my part. But this is a blistering thing. Verse 19 and 20 and then 26. I'm not going to cover every verse. I'm not doing like Greek and Hebrew, like something you do in seminary, but concepts. Let's read this. James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. This is out of the NIV. That's what I use. Maybe because of my age. Other people like other ones, but generally that's what I do. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Oh, man, this is not going to be fun. I can tell you right now. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Verse 20, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Let's jump down to verse 26. Now, I'm just warning you. We're going to do the first three chapters. Chapter 3 is all about the tongue. So it's a big theme in this verse. I am trying a new computer setup, and it is not working well. Give me a second. Who has verse 26? My screen just went blank. 26. Oh, no, here it comes back. If anyone, verse chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Oh, my gosh. Have you clicked in on the PowerPoint? All right, so I just do high-level PowerPoint. So the minions are back today. I love the minions. This is about controlling the tongue. We can redeem evil. They're supposed to be evil. We're going to redeem it. So this whole little section is about controlling the tongue. Look at this. I'm going to give you my own nickname. At the beginning of your chapter, it probably says something about controlling the tongue or something about the tongue. No, I cross that out. You know what this chapter is to me? This is the title of this section. It's the duct tape chapter. Okay? Because I need a little help most of the time to keep my religion from being worthless. As I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit of self-control, keep my tongue. Man, I can give you so many stories how my tongue has just got myself in so much trouble. I'm sure every one of you has one. Yeah. Especially if you're a preacher like me. See, being able to speak is a double-edged sword. You can use it for good, or you can get yourself kicked, okay? You know. So this is the duct tape chapter. So I will be using some duct tape illustrations every once in a while as we go through here. But this thing's asking us to do three things. There's a practical dimension, which is what's talking about. But as Scripture, you know, there's layers here. There's also a spiritual dimension. And the first one is to be quick to listen. We've already read the verse. There's our minion friends. Put on our things. And this is with people naturally, but also God. Be quick to listen and be quick to obey. Well, why do we need to listen? It's good for you and it's good for others. I'm one of those ones that typically come into the room mouth first and suck all the oxygen out of the room. And when somebody's talking, I'm usually thinking what I'm going to say next. And I'll interrupt them sometimes. And see, that there's the scripture says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. When you're quick to speak instead of being quick to listen, you're thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Because I just use me. I know none of you are like this in this room. Because some of you aren't. But if you're my personality, a choleric type A, I come into the room, I know I have all the answers. And I'm just waiting to share them with you. I know you've got a little bit of experience, but I've got a lot of experience. And if you would just listen to me, your life would be put in order. I'm exaggerating. Maybe. And so when I'm doing quick to listen, I'm actually, you'll see this theme all the way through James of humility. When you're quick to listen, you're saying, I do not have all the answers, which means you're becoming humble. And I can learn something from you.
Yes, sir.
It moves us from narcissism, narcissistic behavior, self-centered behavior, to, you know, maybe, just maybe, Joe has more experience in this area than me. Maybe, just maybe, Cindy has some insight learned through hard wisdom, and I just need to listen to her.
Yes, sir.
And so it's good for me. It's also good for the other person. Just as, you know, what one of the best ministries is? Just to listen to people. I saw there was a 1-800 number. You might have seen this. And they had to end up, there was a 1-800 service that if you called, you paid. It was a 1-900 service, actually. You paid by the minute just to listen. Wow. They were so bombarded by calls of lonely people. Just to have somebody listen on the other line, they had to shut it down. Man, we at the church, we could at least do that, can't we? Now, I know there's a place where you put input and put stuff in, but so many people, we're a very lonely society. I've been to a lot of societies around the world, and our society is one of the loneliest because we separate in church. That's why we have small groups. I mean, this is good, but Lisa, you know, do you like the back of my mom's hair? How does it look back there? It looks okay, but there's not a whole lot of flow back and forth. That's why we put circles in a small group. But most people never experience Christianity outside the back of my bald head, and it ain't that pretty. I need some hair up here. But that's one of the first steps, is just to listen, and it's one of the best ministries that's out there. And there's tons of YouTube videos, tons of articles about how to listen, but this is what I do. I'm listening to them. I'm trying to be quick to listen, because that other person is made in the image of God. I'm not above them. I'm not below them. We're co-heirs. And there's something of God's DNA put into them, not just their physical DNA, but spiritual DNA that I don't have. He's made us interdependent on purpose. He's made, you know, the whole body analogy. Some are toenails and some are toes and some are joints and some are bones, you know, that whole thing. He's made us that way because none of us have all of it, no matter if you're a choleric type A personality like me. See, I know a lot of you aren't that way, but my personality, okay, what I don't have really is not important. What arrogance. What pride. And as I start to listen, I go, wow, I never thought about it that way. That's a pretty cool way to do it. Plus, you're ministering to that other person, because what are you doing? You're not just feeling sorry for them, but you're validating their opinions when you listen. So turn to the person on your left and say, sometimes you just need to put some duct tape on that thing. Maybe you shouldn't say that. Not sure how nice that is. Slow to speak. Wow, this is the second thing. I love this. Silence is golden. Duct tape is silver, but it makes a great second place. Told you, you see the duct tape all through here, man. I told you I was spiritual. He just wouldn't believe it. It's so funny. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm getting on a roll now. I heard somebody say one time, even duct tape can't fix stupid. But it does muffle the sound. I tell you what, there have been many times there was somebody had put some duct tape on my mouth before I showed how stupid we are. Turn to somebody around and say, don't make me get the duct tape now. Next time your spouse or somebody says something stupid, go, I think it's in the garage. Would you like me to go get it? Oh, you've probably heard this. You know what? I heard it years ago. He gave us two ears and one mouth. Maybe we should stop talking, or we should talk half as much as we listen. You know, I don't know, but I think that's a good policy. And this is so true with the Lord. I had to learn, when I was taught prayer many, many years ago, it's the classic thing where you go through a list of prayers and you just pray them. You know, pray for this, pray for that, pray for health, pray for this missionary, pray for that person, pray for this. And at the end, we'd all go home. And the Lord just started saying, you know, your mouth was moving the whole time, but you never listened for an answer to your prayers. I mean, you know, y'all been there? You know what I'm talking about? You just throw them up and run. And, I, you know, that does some good to some degree, I guess. But this is a two-way thing. He's not a vending machine. And that's assuming that he's going to do everything. Well, I've found more and more in life, especially the more mature you get, he wants to partner with you. So that means we have to pause to see what our part of it is to know what to do. Because, you know, you're praying for finances maybe. Instead of just hoping that lottery checks show up in the mailbox, he may tell you to cut back on something. Or he may tell you, well, go over here, you know, for a better job. That would be a big move. But there's a, that kind, you get what I'm saying? And so we have to listen and partner. And seriously, with God, this is a great principle, to try to listen twice as much as you talk. Now, you say, well, he doesn't say anything. Well, still, just wait. He is not near as much of a hurry as we are. He just enjoys just hanging out with you. He doesn't always have to be talking. And somewhere in that journey, he wants to hang out with you. How many of you, when you first started dating somebody, you know, this is way before you get married, somebody first started dating somebody, you're in love with them. Have you ever listened to their conversations? I was this way one time. But you look back, you go, that's just so just yucky. Oh, I love you. No, I love you more. No, I love you the most. And there's all this silence, and they're just looking at each other. And you're going, get over it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's a biblical principle. I think we should still be doing it at 40 years of marriage. And if we've lost that, we got to go back and figure it out somewhere. And that's a biblical principle. We need to go, God, I just love you. And just pause. A lot of times he'll just tell you, I love you back. And you go, what do you want to do? I don't want to do anything. Just hang out with you right now. I mean, how many of you dated the other person just to get instructions from them? Well, I need you to do this. Here's my honey-do list. Very quickly, you're going to go, this is not doing anything for me. We're moving on down the road here. Why do I even look at my notes? It's sort of useless. I just sort of ramble on. Here's some good verses. Proverbs 21:23. If we will listen twice as much as we speak, and even better, I've gotten better. I've still got a long ways to go. I pray, you all know what a governor is? It's sort of a stop, on, off thing. You can only go so fast and, you know, sort of like an on, off switch. I pray all the time, Father, put a governor between my brain and my tongue. And I try to, all the time, count to three before I say anything. Wow. 1001, 1002, 1000. I don't do that under my breath, that you can hear it. Why? Because Proverbs 21:23 says this, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proverbs Psalms 39:1, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. Now, I've never done a study. This is just Craig walking through life. But I think probably a huge percentage of my sins started with something I said. I know you can do thought sins, but I can think about gossiping about Jeff over here, but I'm not going to get real far till I actually gossip about Jeff. I can think about lying about Tony over here, but I can't really go too far with it until I open my mouth. I can be angry at Ron, but I'm not going to get in a whole lot of trouble because he can't read my mind until I get angry at Ron. And that's why I think he says, if you can control this little piece of flesh here, you can control your whole body. Wow. We'll talk more about it. Oh, I love this one. This one's convicting. I probably need to put this on my mirror, on my car. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, say many words, sin is unavoidable. I'm not sure what you do with that, because I've done a bunch of words already. Hopefully I'm not in sin. But he who restrains his lips, I love this, he who restrains his lips is wise. You're going on a trip with me for 4 days. Use this a lot, Craig. It's time to restrain it, baby. I got the duct tape and the carry-all. Do you need it? Wise. All right, the duct tape stuff can't get out of my mind. I don't even know if I should say this. I tell you what, you do this to me on this trip, Craig. When I want your opinion, I'll remove the duct tape. How about that? Now, if you're going to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and this is the same way with God. Man, I'm trying to get better, but I am so quick to argue with God. What am I doing?
Yes.
What is the height of this arrogance? Have you ever had God speak something to you and you start giving him the reasons why you can't do this thing? As if he had never thought of that before? Oh, yeah, Craig, I didn't think of that. Yeah, you're right. Just forget whatever I said. Just wipe it out. Yeah, yeah. You caught me off guard with that one, buddy. I mean, you think about it. We do it all the time, and he's just like, when I talk, he's turning to Jesus and go, listen, he's been a Christian for 40 years. You would think he would be further along than what he is right now. I just asked him a question. Can you believe he asked me a question back? Let me give you a little hint here. When God asks you a question, it's not meant to answer anything. You're not to give him the answer. His questions are always rhetorical. I don't think, and I don't want to put God in a box, but I don't think in over 40 years of walking with God, he's asked me a question that he expected an answer back. If it was, it was very small. And so when God asks you a question, just be slow to speak and go, all right, Holy Spirit, or this is with anybody. I need the fruit of self-control The backup plan is duct tape. But the first plan is self-control. Wean me off my addiction of duct tape. Slow to speak. Now, because I'm a talker. I know some of you, we have to talk. Some of the reasons we talk, I already talked about pride. Another one, and this isn't me so much, it's more introverts. They talk like crazy because they're nervous. And we're insecure. But that's also a time just to grow up. Say, Father, help me to get secure in who I am. And I don't have to impress people. Some people talk to impress. You know name droppers? Or those, this is what I really hate, probably because I do it the most. As soon as somebody tells you a story that's awesome, I met somebody, they have a story better than your story. You know? I met Gary Cole. Oh, my God. I met Benny Hinn last week. I know. I love Jason's music. Me and Ron Canole, baby, we're like this, you know, or whatever. And they don't do it on purpose, but how many of you want to move over into anger and punch them out when they do that kind of thing? Nobody here. All right, we got a mature group. That's good. This is why I hate this chapter, man. It is just totally, it's just, you know, some things you can sort of spiritualize away. There is no spiritualizing away. Quick to hear, slow to speak. And then our last one is slow to anger. One guy's having fun. The other one's ready to beat him to death because he's aggravating him. You know, he's just minding his own business, doing a little birthday kazoo over there. That one guy's like, I don't know what it is, but I hate this guy. He's just irritating me right now. I know you cannot identify. But one day you're going to be counselors and leaders, so try to understand this situation that you can get aggravated at people so that you will know how to counsel them. We all know we're not supposed to get angry, and so I'm not even going to talk about that. Oh, I forgot this. Is once a month I try to hand out a relationship article. It's also on the weekly email for the second week. Because we are called Relationship Church, and we should be getting better at it. We've got three relationships to manage, the one with God, the one with others, and the one with ourselves. And, you know, this is more about the relationship of God. The groups are more about relationship of others. The growth journey is more about relationship with yourself. But these are articles that I found online that are great. And so I'll put it back here in the back. Five things to say to your kids every day. So if you're interested in that, we will. You can grab one on the way out. Slow to anger. Let me just say, I think one of the biggest things that's affecting us as a culture in this country right now in this area is. I've been in a lot of countries and a lot of cultures and do a lot of reading. I have never seen the phase that we're in as a culture the last 10 to 15 years where everybody is offended at something. Amen, yes. The political correctness is just feeding this thing. I'm not saying we don't watch our language. I don't want to be a racist. I don't want to offend anybody on purpose. But I'm telling you, it is totally just out of control and nowhere near healthy. I mean, you can't even say anything without offending somebody. The problem is this, and you understand, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about intentionally offending somebody. If you offend somebody, then, you know, ask forgiveness. I'm not, you know, there's a balance here. But we have shifted the responsibility away from the person to not get angry and to not get offended to the person that's talking. This is not biblical. Biblical is you take personal responsibility for yourself. What does it say in Matthew when somebody is offended at you? You go and reconcile it and make it right. But we have this thing, if Cindy comes to me and says something about, I don't know, bald-headed guys that are over 6 feet tall. You know, she doesn't mean to, but she offends me. I think I have a right to get mad at her because she didn't control her tongue. You apply it to a real-world situation. I am to do what he said earlier, to actively forgive, to be unoffendable. Jesus Christ is hanging on a cross.
Yes, yes.
Man, did they offend him.
Yes.
Man, did they take his rights away. And on the last thing he says is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what to do. He was unoffendable. Us as a Christianity that are trying to follow the Christianity that's a subset of our society needs to get to the place where we are unoffendable. Because we've learned to take these things that attack our identity of being a bald guy over 6 feet tall, if that's wrong, but it seems like everything you say is wrong anymore over somebody, we take those things to the Lord and say, you know, my identity is in you. I am who I am, and I am what I am, and I'm growing and maturing. But because somebody says something like that to me, it is not going to ruin my day.
Amen.
Because if it ruins your day, you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. It says in Romans 8, those who are the sons of God are led by the spirits of God, but I'm being led by Cindy's remark that screws up my whole day.
Yeah.
She is my God. And we've got to rise above this stuff. I'm not advocating being mean or cruel, but it should not affect our lives. And this PC stuff, the bad stuff about it is it's moving the responsibility for how I behave onto how you treat me.
Yeah.
There's balance here, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Listen, you will never be treated right in all circumstances, but does that mean I'm going to be like a roller coaster going up and down? The first part of James that we talked about, that without doctrine, without truth, we're double-minded and going up and down and tossed to and fro like the waves. The reason is because my anchor needs to be on the inside. And a part of this, if I'm quick to get angry, usually it's because I think my rights have been violated. And you know they may have. But Jesus' rights were violated too. More than probably most of us have had it violated. Pulled out of the Garden of Gethsemane, flogged, false witnesses, dragging it down through the Via Dolorosa, you know, having to carry his own cross and then crucified and a spear put in. But he overcame that because his identity was a higher place. It was a stronger place, and he knew who he was and what he was. And if you want to be any kind of leader at work, any kind of leader in the church, any kind of leader in your family, you will have false witnesses against you. You will have occasion to be have an offense, which then makes you angry. Now, I know you can get angry at a lot of things, because it actually says slow to anger here, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I don't want to talk about it, but there's a place where you should get angry. When you see somebody's walking in sin and causing chaos in your family, in a good way, you rise up and say, we ain't doing this anymore here. When you come into my house, it's over with.
Hallelujah.
Or you see somebody that's, you know, the sin has just wore them down and tore them up and through their choices or through unchoices. We should get mad at what the devil's done to them.
Yes,
and channel it in a right way. Jesus did that with a temple. He went in there, it's supposed to be a place of worship and hallelujah and praise God. And they're in there ripping you off, taking the money changers thing. See, the Romans had money, but you had to have a different money when you were in the temple. It's just a way to make money on the conversion. That's all it boiled down to. They could have done a lot of that thing. So he got mad at all that. So it says slow to anger. It doesn't say no to anger. But slow to anger means I've got a reason that I'm angry. And it should be outside of us. See, we make it a reason about ourselves. I tell you what, it's nuts. You know, one of my daughters is in college, and she doesn't do this, but I see all these old college students. The thing with political correctness is you end up standing for nothing. Greatness is removed. Because if you think of something too great, they'll get offended at something. And you end up becoming the lowest common denominator because you're trying not to offend anybody. If you're going to become great, you're going to have to stand for something.
Got that right.
I'm talking about stand for good stuff. But see, if Cindy over here doesn't know who she is in Jesus Christ, and I say, man, God's called me to do this and God's called me to do that, she's going to become inferior and try to bring me down to bring herself up, and it doesn't do any good. Boy, I have started meddling now, hadn't I? Where's the duct tape, man? We need to put a duct tape roll right up here. Go ahead and pull off some mouth-sized strips and put them across here. Y'all can stand. We're going to dismiss. So this week, try to listen twice as much as you speak. Why am I getting angry? That's the reason. How can you be slow to anger if you don't understand why you're getting angry? Why am I getting angry? What is the root cause that we need one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit to put over it? I can see it now when y'all go to lunch. If you go out with somebody else, you talk. No, you talk. Yeah. You don't end up talking because you don't want to be the one talking more than anybody else. Father, in Jesus' name, I just bless these people as this basic practical truth of Scripture just here. Lord, for your glory, for your honor, help us to hear you twice as much as we speak. Yes. Help us to take that and minister to others twice, to hear twice as much as we speak. But when we speak, we do it with direction. And we move with meaning. And we parse words with purpose. Because we thought it out a little more. Make us slow to anger. Increase the anger where it needs to be. So that we are just weapons in your hands. And comforters in your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want prayer for anything, there'll be a group of leaders over to your left over here. This is the anointed section over here. Only God only moves in this corner over here. So if you go to this corner, you won't get your prayers answered. But if you come over here where the leaders are, y'all know I'm kidding, right? I said a joke in the prophecy class this morning at 9. It was a visitor, hadn't been there before, looked at me. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Half of whatever I say, ignore. The problem is knowing which half to ignore.